Hey, everybody, and welcome to CB and the Boys. I'm CB, and we've got a great, great, great show for you tonight. So look forward to that. We're going to be talking about our topic tonight, which is about COVID, and also we're going to be talking about mental illness because we are very impacted greatly by the loss that we've experienced this week with people committing suicide. So we're going to talk about it. We're going to dive in deep about it. And then look forward to Mimi's drink special. Roger will be on again with his fitness and sports. George has got his business tips all set and ready for you. And you know, your girl, I got your movie reviews. So without further ado, let's start the show. George, roll it. Whoa, and we are back. Everybody, once again, a warm, warm, happy, happy welcome, welcome, welcome to CBN The Boys. And I got my boys in the building. Got the fabulous Ms. Mimi Acosta. What is up, Mimi? How are you? All right, and we have Mr. Roger Hoskins, Mr. Fitness himself. What's up, Roger? And last but certainly not least, Mr. George, a biker boy Holman. What is up, George? Ready for your business tip?
We good to go.
Yeah, I had to play that one off. So how are you guys tonight? How has your week been going? You know, we're doing our midweek motivating tonight. So what's up with y'all?
I'm dragging. I'm in a 37-hour streak. So, you know me, got to have a little go-go juice with my normal juice. But I'm cool.
Yay.
I'm going on a marathon. Yeah, marathon.
Cool, cool. How's your week going, Mimi?
It's just going, baby. It's just going. I am I'm literally back at, I think, like 100% by now. So
yay!
I got all kinds of shit going on over here. I'm trying to behave myself.
All right. Yes, George. Give Mimi a round of applause. That's good.
I feel at 100%. I feel I got to go and get tested again because I just got to have that negative result so I can feel at 120%. But I feel good, to say the least. That coughing, SS shit, all that shit is a wrap.
Yay!
That's what's up.
I could actually walk into the store and not have to cough and folks be like, oh shit.
Right.
You can't cough anymore. You can't cough, you can't sneeze, you can't clear your throat.
Yeah. Well, you know,
too much control.
There's power in prayer because we all prayed for you. So I'm so happy that you are on the moon, that you are 100%. I'm so happy. That is awesome.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
And George has a huge announcement. He is going to stop smoking. Yay, George. We're so happy. All right. Yeah.
I thought he was pregnant.
Not right now, though.
George.
Not today. Not today. The
no, George.
Starts
no.
By next
Don't
show.
Do it. Step away from the light.
We gonna finish this pack first. I pay good money for this shit.
Uh-oh.
Let me tell you something. We have to do a show surrounding people that state that they're gonna quit doing something and they come back with the habit all over again. And smoking would be
right.
One of them. It's like, I'm gonna finish this pack, or I'm gonna finish doing that. Look, I'm gonna finish this last plate of food, or I'm gonna just wait till Monday.
Right.
Hey. I've been there before. I quit before for an entire year. And I picked up a cigarette one day. Good Lord, what I do that for? So, it was
George,
like
how,
I never stopped.
How you going about it? Are you going to
same way
go
I did.
Cold turkey?
The same way I did last time. Same thing I did last time. I went cold turkey. I was at a biker party. It was New Year's Eve. And I said, y'all know what? I'll quit smoking. This is my last cigarette. We counted down together. Everybody here smoking lit up with me. Smoked a cigarette, lit up. Midnight hit. I put that mug out and didn't touch another cigarette until the next year. It was a whole year.
Wow. Okay.
A whole
right
year.
On.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's tough.
So how long are you going to not smoke this time? Forever, maybe?
I ain't gonna do this shit again. If I successfully make, all you got to do is make it past your nicotine count. Okay, everybody that smokes, their blood contains a nicotine count. And depending on how much you smoke is how much your nicotine count is. So if you have a nicotine count that they consider 30 days or 60 days or 90 days, whatever that is, based on how much you smoke, that's what it is. But once you get past that nicotine count period, so let's say your nicotine count says that I'm going to have nicotine in my system for the next 30 days. Once you get the next 60 days, once you get past that 60 days, then the nicotine is completely out of your system. Everything after that is mental. It's all mental.
Fair enough.
Okay.
All right.
Makes
George,
sense.
Really
going to
be
right
around time, yeah.
I would say my nicotine count probably going to put me at about 60 days. Because I don't smoke as much as I did the first time. And they actually did had a blood test, and they did my nicotine count, and they said it should have been, it was 60 days then. And I was smoking like two packs a day. Two to two and a half packs a day. Now I don't smoke but a pack a day. You know, I don't even smoke, and sometimes I don't even smoke a pack a day. So I know.
So
60
in
days.
In terms of withdrawal and all that, how bad was it? Like the first time, I mean, I've heard, of course, you know, you're irritable, change, you know, things change a little bit. How bad were you the first go around? Just kind of,
you know,
short.
Actually, I don't remember having a withdrawal issue. I just knew that I was like, "Fuck this! I'm through smoking. I didn't want to smoke no more. I just didn't want to do it."
That's what you got to do.
I really didn't have a withdrawal phase. Like, I got to have a cigarette. I'm going crazy. None of that shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's one of those deals where, you know, in my mind, to me, I honestly believe if somebody wants to quit smoking, they're truly going to quit without all the extra additives. I get it. It's technically an addiction, but if you want to do something, you're going to do it without any help. If you need help,
yeah,
you really didn't want to do it.
Everybody isn't able to self-motivate. That's the one good thing about it. If you know you're strong enough to do it, that's cool, because, you know, everybody can't self-start or keep themselves honest, but again, for those that can, I think it's an added bonus, because some people just don't possess the strength to be able to, you know, stay on course without. That's why they have coaches, life coaches, regular coaches,
right?
Because people can't do it alone. So I mean, good for you that you can,
right?
Because you're all the motivation you need. But a lot of people, they just can't go that route. So
I'm going that route. As soon as I finish, look, I got about a half a pack. I ain't wasting none of my money. I'm going. All this money going to get used up. All this money going to get used up.
Money.
Hey, look, the wife went to buy cigarettes, and she went to buy cigarettes. Don't give me none. She got her carton, didn't give me none. She's like, well, how many you got left? Okay. I said, about five packs. And she's like, oh, damn. So that's why. But that was my main reason that I didn't want her to get me a carton, because I knew I was going to quit at the end of this. When I finish this carton, because I wasn't going to just throw the carton away. Fuck that.
That's
up all
that
thing. Money.
I can't wait for money. You already
do. I already gave up the money. I might as well enjoy it. You know what I mean?
Man. Yeah, how many? Okay. That's
but when
also,
I finish this pack,
it out there.
When I finish this pack, it's a wrap.
All right.
Well, if we have any sponsors watching who are in the anti-smoking business, anybody who wants to give George the patch and help him on his journey, give us a shout out at cbandtheboys.org. Reach out to us. You can email him at george@cbandtheboys.org and let's talk about it. Give him a pass. Give him a hand.
Look,
you know, everybody can use a little bit of help.
Look,
can't always
look,
quit cold turkey.
The wife been buying patches for a year. We got enough to support the neighborhood up there.
Yeah, patches on
the damn closet.
Yeah,
so,
air for the air.
And if we have
right,
any sponsors with Nicorette gum, George can use some Nicorette.
Hey, damn, you ain't got no faith in your cousin. Shit, she's like, hey, listen,
none,
if somebody got a 380 to put to George's head, he might need it. I got you, G. We're going to do accountability checks.
Hey, the only thing I'm gonna be smoking from this point on is this fresh CB and the Boys gear.
Yeah, crazy.
Check it.
Look.
Check it. Check
you know, hey, you know, Missouri methamphetamine. You know, I'm just saying. I'm from there. You know how they do. It's a good program.
Sucker, you know, guys.
No, man. Good, but good.
No
good for you. Good for you. Stick with it, brother. Stick with it. I definitely try to keep you accountable. Stick with it.
You can do it, George. You can do it. All right,
moving on.
Mimi, what is on the drink special tonight? We're thirsty.
It's a couple of things that happened over here.
Hold on.
First of all.
You got your intro. Hold on.
Now it's time for Mimi's Fine Wine.
Oh. Mimi's Fine Drink.
George,
but that's okay. We'll give him a pass.
I graduated from that shit. So, you guys know that I love my canned Long Island iced tea, which is, I'm finishing everything that I have because come next week, guys, I'm celebrating my after COVID shit. So you already know.
Okay.
I'm doing my Long Island iced tea.
Yeah.
And in the ice, you guys already know, I got to have it with ice. I'm just special. I do wine. I do everything with ice. And I'm doing a royal peach shot.
Oh.
That's
what's
going
on. She trying to play ketchup.
So,
that looks tasty.
This is ketchup.
Okay.
This is my shot to CB and the Boys. And thank you guys for being with me and rocking with me and supporting me and inspiring me to continue on coming on the show every single Wednesday, COVID or not. One love.
One love.
Yeah.
Ew. Yeah. And there you have it.
I think we are, you know.
Yay.
Cheers. Very
cheers.
Good, very
cheers,
good.
Cheers, my team.
Good to see you back in action, girl.
Like,
I like it.
Yeah,
thank you.
Definitely. So are those good with desserts as well?
Man, look, this is good with anything. Period.
That peach, though,
know,
yes, that's real.
That peach would definitely do it, yes. And, you know, I got to give it to Roger on the educational part when it comes to that because – you know, your girl got a lot of catching up to do when it comes to that. I don't know what's good. I'll drink anything with anything. Some things honestly don't go, though. I could be eating a steak, and I could drink something that I think goes with everything, and I'll be all the way thrown off, like, okay, that's not the drink for it. You know, so it's just that I just don't know. I just don't know what goes with what.
Right.
You know, I guess at some point I'm going to get the whole educational package from, you know, Mr. Hawkins over there.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, maybe I'm in the same boat. I drink with anything, too. And it's just whatever it is, that's what it is with that day. That's what it is. It's just like right now,
whatever
it is, I got a combination going on that tastes like Peach Crown. For real.
Oh.
I got the ever so famous Hen Dog.
Mixed
with the cream soda.
Okay,
no.
Right on.
God. cream soda and hen dog taste like peach.
Tell them again.
I'm telling you.
I don't know about the peach part, but I do love whiskey and cream soda, G. I don't know about the peach part, but I've been drinking whiskey and cream soda for like 10, 11 years, and people were like, "Oh, it sounds nasty," because a lot of people don't like cream soda. I promise you,
right. If
you do something like a Gentleman Jack, or even, I'm not a fan of Hennessy, but George is right, something like a hen, like a cognac or whiskey with a cream soda, you will rediscover it. I promise you, it'll change your life.
I have a question.
That A&W goes hard. What's up?
I have a question. Do you mix it? Or do you have one in one cup and one in the other?
Mix.
No,
I actually mix.
I pour them both. I mix them. Yeah.
Okay.
That's the difference.
Just like if it was Hennessy and Coke, it's Hennessy and cream soda.
But dude,
okay.
Hennessy,
so I'm gonna try that. I'm gonna try that for next week's drink special and see how I like it, and I'll let the public know if that is something that we can do, because that shit sounds awfully crazy. But it might just really be good, like you said.
It tastes awfully good.
Yeah, it does. George
tastes awfully good.
I did whiskey, but I did whiskey and cream for years. Man,
Christian, what's he over there drinking? Because you always a goody two-shoe with your bottle of water. We over here drinking hot shit.
I have nothing.
I'm drinking water.
Water
on the rocks.
I got air.
No, this is what it is. CB says she's a snack.
Girl, I'm the whole damn thing. No.
Hey, moving right along.
Got to be more careful.
Got to be more careful.
Well, as you guys know, this is Black History Month, so shout out to all of our Black legends and creators, innovators, and shout out to all of our, you know, Black inventors of tomorrow and people of color. So starting next show, because, well, you know, I can't do everything. I forgot to prepare something for Black History. So next show, we're going to have a Black History moment. I'm not doing that today. Anyway, Roger, what is up with the sports? How about the Chiefs? You know, we still support them because, you know, So what do you think happened in the game? Because I really feel the second half that Mahomes was not playing.
I can tell you what happened.
I'm a huge conspiracy theorist in a lot of ways. I know a lot of people had their own ideology about it. But let's just go from a fan standpoint for right now. From a fan standpoint, you saw pretty much what everybody saw. You know, he flipped the switch and he went from Superman in the first half to Clark Kent. I hate that we have to place it all on the shoulders of one individual, but your QB is your field general because of that, you know. And so that being said, he's kind of at the top of the team, you know, the QB, the coach. And there's an old adage that goes, a fish stinks from the head down. So, in other words, once Mahomes started stinking, everything just kind of fell out. It fell out of place. I mean, he looked nothing like himself, and you can't win that way. I mean, to give up 18 points, well, I mean, you shouldn't win. I mean, they actually did not play. They weren't deserving of it after that. Obviously, I think we'll see them again. The Rams are going to go, which I think is, you know, the Rams are going, they're going to play in L.A., wink, wink. So I guess it's cool. You know, L.A. needs a boost in a lot of ways. If you think about the ways they're living, I mean, they are doing some, you know, the 28 days after the I Am Legend, there's some crazy stuff going on in L.A., so they need a little ray of hope going on there. So that being said, big ups to them, because to hell with Frisco, we don't like them. And I think it'll be interesting. I don't know how great the game will be. It could be okay, but I just think since he's going to be a little bit overmatched. But big ups to them for going. They haven't been since, like, 88. So, you know, it was high time for them to go. You know, they haven't been since Icky. Icky was in the audience, you know, so good for them. I mean, I couldn't even be that mad. It was just one of those, after the, I think the last play of the first half when he tried to get the record was a little bit telltale. A buddy of mine and I discussed it. He was kind of pissed. He was like, oh, he drank his own Kool-Aid. He's believing his own hype. I don't think it's so much that I think, you know, everybody gets a little excited when you think I'll be in a class by myself if I make this play. No one else has done it. So mm-hmm. I can understand that temptation, you know. What I thought was interesting was Brady retired. Good for him. Go to hell. But then I think there's some potential. See, he likes
the
to do
way
that whole,
he retired, though. The way
but he likes
he
to
retired,
do that
though.
Whole. He likes to do the whole Machiavelli thing. So see, don't be surprised if you look up next year and he's like, ah, I want to play Patrick again. I just he would do it if he wasn't 100 years old. But you know, stranger things have happened.
But the way
Aaron
he
Rogers,
retired, you know what you know what he did, don't you?
I mean, what difference does it make other than the fact
that he signed a one-day contract with the Patriots, so they retire a Patriot.
What?
So, well, from
yeah,
the
he signed a one-day contract with the Patriots,
a lot of
so that he could retire a Patriot. Yeah.
Wow.
Which I think is interesting because he did. He made this big production on his social media about thanking Tampa Bay. He never mentioned New England, blah, blah, blah. But he did spend his best years in New England. So I don't know if, you know, they've mended fences enough to do that. But I don't know. I don't know how I really feel about that considering. I mean, yeah, he kind of, it was kind of a favor to Tampa. But can't you see Aaron Rodgers being in Tampa Bay next year? My buddy and I decided on that, and I think we both agree. I could see Rodgers making that move.
Because I don't know, man.
Don't be surprised. Here's why.
I'm gonna tell you why I say this. Because
why?
Aaron hasn't made a fuss or a push about a bunch of money. And he's been there all this time, and it has not been about money.
That's right.
You know, it hasn't been, it's not about money at all for him.
So you're kind of proving my point. If it's not about money and you know Tampa Bay is willing to pay, think about it. He's not happy in Green Bay, but he still wants to win. And who better to go to than the former champion and contender? So don't be surprised. And that'll take him out of Green Bay's, you know, conference at least until playoffs. Don't be surprised if he doesn't retire and ends up there. And, hey, everybody out there, you guys heard it here first. I think I'm right on that one. And I'll give my buddy credit, too. So, John, you got it. Anyway, that's what's going on. So, I guess Pro Bowl's this week here in Vegas. I'm not going to be anywhere near it. And then the following week, L.A., we're going to have Cincinnati. And we're going to see the L.A. Rams defend at home. It's kind of the end thing lately. And then it'll be here in a couple of years. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. While I'm on the subject really, really quickly, not being funny, I know we tease about being Raider haters because we are Chiefs fans, but they need to – and they do have a new head coach and a new GM, but they need to revamp this team. You guys may or may not be privy, but every other week or so, one of these young men is getting arrested, is in jail for speeding. We know Ruggs, of course, was a high-profile case because he killed someone. But there's constant, you know, there are a lot of deaths around here involving speed all the time. We made national news the other day. 9 people died because some asshole with flying and speeding blasted a minivan full of people, killed 7 people from one family. It's crazy. And I see it all the time. And I'm only throwing that out there because a lot of these young men, you know, they're instant millionaires. They don't know how to handle themselves, or they're not grown. They haven't grown into anything. And I just feel like that organization, you know, it's fun to have a rivalry, but it's not fun to constantly be talking about another young brother in jail or whose career was ruined in less than a year because he's making stupid decisions. And so I don't know, you know, and they do have rookie classes and all of that, but that's clearly not enough. I don't know where the mentorship should come in. I don't know if it's, you know, and now that they're being paid in college and things, it's only going to get worse. And I say that because I get to see it firsthand here. It's in the news all the time. There's always some Raiders athlete, and unfortunately, most of them are young black men because they're not used to the money, the celebrity, the availability, all of these things that come with their occupation. And so something really needs to be done. So, I mean, I'm just kind of imploring someone that, to reach out and help these young men out, because a lot of them are ending before they can begin. So, anyway, that's kind of what we've got going. I don't know how many of you guys are going to keep up with the Winter Olympics. Not really our thing, but Jamaica has
but
a bobsled team again. Jamaica has a bobsled team again. I'm going to watch Cool Runnings.
You know, you got to admit when they first did that, you got to admit that was like a stunner. I mean, you know, a country that ain't never seen snow got a bobsled team. I mean, you know, that was a you know,
but
that was crazy.
It makes sense.
But
believe it or not, a lot of people do it. Because
sprinters clearly
have an advantage. I mean, look at Lolo Jones from USA. She was an Olympian in the hurdles and all that. She just could never get right, but she was a great hurdler, and she ended up – so she's gone to both Winter and Summer Olympics, which is cool. Cause, you know, she did that. She went from being a sprinter hurdler to a bobsledder. You know, that's about the only way you're going to get us to do that anyway. Like I said, that just, you know, you ain't running down to the Boys and Girls Club to practice bobsled in the hood. Sorry. it ain't happening. But, you know, big ups to them, and I'm definitely going to try to keep up with how some of our ladies and gentlemen are doing, because, again, Winter Olympics. But, you know, there's the sister in speed skating and things like that. So, you know, we've got, you know, I don't really believe in Black History Month because I practice all year long, and I know a lot of us say that. But because it is official, I will try to keep up with a lot of what's going on, you know, with our black athletes and whatnot this month in particular because of the Olympics. So there you got it.
Yep. When we wake up in the morning, they'll be lighting a torch.
Kick it off. We ain't gonna handle all black hockey team though.
I know.
Right. That ain't gonna happen.
That would be interesting.
Exactly.
No,
hey,
no,
they
that
wouldn't. They wouldn't make it onto the ice. You know, them brothers wouldn't make it onto the ice. Hey, but boy, it'd be smoke in the city in the locker room.
Oh no, it might be crazy. They might be like, "What? I can get points if I take my gloves off and go." Get points.
And that's why you won't see it. Most of the brothers in hockey are about Mimi and Crystal's complexion. Ain't too many Rogers out there.
Hey.
It is what it is. It is what it is, light skin. Don't worry about it. I love you. I love my light skin.
So what's up with fitness,
you know, guys? Fitness. So today, since George is actually
playing the game itself, Roger's fitness tip of the week.
Since George refuses to edit my damn video because he's got to work.
Like,
he's got to work
Nemo?
For a living now.
What the heck?
That is epic.
Oh, it really is.
You got some plenty of flam. Then check this out. Roger's fitness tip of the week.
Oh, my Lord.
Why is even the voice introducing it shaking? Like,
right. I'm like, what are we doing? I think it's funny, but what the hell, man? were you on a treadmill while you were trying to make that? You know, you're trying to balance
yourself. Well, you sound like you're underwater.
that's funny. That's funny.
Everything
you know
I hear was 100%. Everything you hear was 100% intentional, and I got the response that I expected to get from it. So,
damn it,
I'm doing good.
Yeah, you did. All right, folks, so sticking with the core right now, we've been doing a lot of core work, and, I mean, obviously, just the one thing or something that I'm talking about is not all. I hope people have the intelligence to add to it, but just giving you something to specify that particular day. So today we're going to go to everybody's favorite, abdominals, abs. One thing you can do so much, and again, I'm always trying to give information on what we can do if we don't have gym memberships or don't have that kind of time, et cetera, et cetera. So we'll start with, you know, just straight, like, leg lifts. I wish I could demo right now, but I can't. But just imagine if you flat, stand against a wall flat and just work on lifting one leg at a time, straight. No knee bend. Go as high as you can, as slowly as you can. If you can get it perpendicular, fantastic. Hold it there. Once you hold it there for like a four count or five, six count, whatever you can do, if you hold it for 10 count, great. Lower your leg. Switch legs. So, of course, we're going to do these slowly, and you want to do sets of 20 because you have two legs. Okay? So that's definitely going to get the lower region of your abdominal muscles really, really working. Of course, then we can drop down and begin with just your normal crunches just to get yourself a little bit loose and what have you. And what I want to emphasize is you want to be able to try to come up. Even don't necessarily have to put your hands behind your head because sometimes it can hurt your neck. It's not cheating if you can cross your arms across your chest and just raise up. Just hold it when you get to the top and then release down. It should be a slow, fluid motion, not jerky if you can avoid it, because that's using different muscle groups. Okay, so, you know, do as many as you can. You want to do sets of 20 and 30 because, again, that's going to get you the burn that you need without using weight. And then lastly, V-ups. If you make a V, so imagine if your legs are here and the top half of your body is like so. You want to hold that motion and you want to come together and try your best to touch fingertips to toes or ankles, V-ups. Hold that. And you want to try to maintain that balance as well, because that's also going to help with balancing. So just three variations. I mean, you guys have got all your different, you know, ab routines and whatnot, but this is stuff you can add to. And you can also do those while sitting on a bench, slightly, you know, modified. So right there, you know, just let's get those abs together, because guess what? In about a month and change, you know, some of y'all are going to want to wear a two-piece. You know, I know I'll probably have on some seashells myself, so I got to make sure I'm together.
But I don't care how fit you are. Ew.
Yeah. I'm gonna have taco meat right there. And then...
You better not. Somebody gonna show up with that damn razor blade, like.
Oh, y'all some haters. And then I'm gonna have my shirt unbuttoned all the way down here, and I'm gonna have a big ass gold chain like Saturday Night Fever. And I'm walking with y'all. Nobody's leaving me.
And that's the video.
You're going to be running around looking like Flavor Flav.
Wow.
I can see that on the cruise. And that's the video that will make it the CB and the Boys introduction. Okay?
Right. You're welcome. Anybody with any questions or variations, by all means, we love to hear what your take is on it, and if you have something different to add to it. We'll definitely get back with, you know, more versions as we go down the road, but I love hearing back from people just kind of to see the difference and the variations in some of these exercises. So, you know, keep at it, folks. Keep it up. You know, you don't have to start Monday or the first of the month. Just remember, start tomorrow. I don't care if it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, so start. Just start, because that's the first day is the worst day. After that, you're going to continue to improve. So don't make it a point to say January 1st, my birthday, Monday. Don't do that, because you're shorting yourself. It doesn't have to be a nice round number just to get going. And do a little bit at a time. Just, you know, just work your way into it so that you don't quit. All right. But any other questions, drop us a line, and we'll be back next week with a little bit more.
Well, I do have a question. So, like, you know how, like, when you're doing your exercises and like, people are counting or your instructor's counting, and then you go down to, you know, like, one more, two more, and then they'll go 10 more. I'm like, how the heck do you go from 1 to 10? Like, your trainers not count?
No, it's...
That's torture.
So here's,
that's false advertisement.
No, that's called... People don't realize our bodies are capable of a lot. Now, I don't believe in just trying to kill someone day one because you won't get them to a day two. But you're so much more capable than you know. So you may think, oh, my goodness, I did 10. I'm dying. Yeah, you're really not. And so you probably do have two or three more in you. That burn is going to be there. Now, I don't believe in getting down to one and going back up to 10. That's kind of mean-spirited. Funny, but mean-spirited. But I do agree. Any good coach worth their salt in your life is going to always say, okay, last one. Mm-hmm. Okay, last one. You're going to have about five last ones. But it just goes to show you can actually do it. It really is mind over matter. I mean, think about the lengths the people have run, the weights the people have lifted, the distances people have covered, all kinds of things. The human body is capable of amazing things. But you have to push yourself to that point. Whatever that motivation may be, it could be fear, it could be anger, it could be determination. You have to let that go. You have to release. Once you really release and go for it, you'll shock yourself. It's just that whole "I can't" that stops us from really, really improving. Once you say "I'm not going to stop," and again, you have to do things within reason because, you know, muscle building is it can create, like, you know, micro fissures in your muscles and things like that. That's what strain and resistance does. But that's how you rebuild and build up. That's why you have recovery. So that's not a bad thing. But you don't want to be out of commission by way of overexertion. So knowing your limit is every bit as important as pushing your limits. Yeah. So go ahead and do five more of those 10 more. It's all right.
And we'll be
five more.
We'll be right back.
Four more.
After a word.
Three more.
From our sponsor.
Two more.
And roll it.
No.
And roll it.
What?
And roll it.
Hey, everybody. It's me, CP. Join us every Wednesday for your midweek motivator, offering you conversation, motivation, music, laughter, and a whole lot of fun. So tune in. Let's talk. Join us as we shake things up and toss things out. CB and the boys, join us for your midweek motivation. See ya.
All right. And we are back. And now, I feel a song coming on. So this is by Musa Kajic, who is an actor / musician artist and CEO from Thailand, and he did a song with oh my god,
BTS.
No, it's not BTS. Yes,
Jesus in the studio.
Okay.
No, this is Musa Kajic. And he did a song, he collaborated with an artist. So
okay,
by
bring
the
it on.
Time, his name is Sam Kim. Sorry about that. So
okay.
He did a song with Sam Kim, and this is called Before 4:30. So please enjoy that. Here we go.
I look at a time through anxious eyes, leave it alone to say, a watch clock never boys. I still wash away anyway. I hold my breath for longer. How can I say or do a thing when I got so many things racing through my head? Before 4:30, before 4:30, can't do a thing with it on my brain. Before 4:30, before 4:30, how should I try to make her mine? Do I tell her she looks lovely, like the classic movie cliché? looking at the time all anxiously. Look again and check that you're still at past 3. 60 minutes till you meet the one you're talking all about for weeks. So what you doing? Clean your hair, brush your teeth, and don't be nervous when you two finally meet. Be a gentleman, it'll be okay. My God, stop looking at the clock. I tell you when you gotta leave. You looking good, you're looking fresh. Shoulder straight, head up and look ahead. Spray this, chew that, take this and don't forget. Be yourself when the clock says 4:30. Go and tell her she looks lovely.
Yusa Pivot and Sam Kim with Before 4:30. I really like this song. It's got a nice vibe to it.
I like that.
Yeah.
Makes me want to get back in the studio. I like that.
Right.
Yeah, I like that. I might have to do something for 2022.
Yes,
let's see right. The voice yeah. It.
Okay.
On the voice. Yeah. No, but I like that for real. Like, I've never heard of them before, so I have to kind of like do a little bit of homework. I really like that. That was soft, subtle, sweet, sexy. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah, he's got some other songs too. Like,
it was a cross between elevator music and ballroom music.
Ballroom.
Yeah.
I
could see Harry
boring.
Belafonte
yeah,
playing that, singing that on the piano in the ballroom.
A little bit of it had a Bruno vibe to it. I could tell he probably had some influences. I could hear a little Bruno vibe in there.
If he did an interview, he would be like, it'd be like, and who's one of your idols, Bruno?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or the same people that influenced them, because you can definitely tell. So talking about before 4:30 a.m. or p.m. because it's two different times a day for two different things. Before 4:30 p.m. means you got to get some stuff done for mama gets home from work. That's p.m. that's before
4:30 a.m. is m.
That means you better hurry before mama wakes up. And everybody going out the window. That's why I asked, which 4:30 are we talking about? Both of them are bad. I hear you. Y'all can't
look,
tell
we need
me
to go home
there.
And ask that question. We might have to get with him and ask that question. Like, yo,
for real, you might
have. The difference.
Right. Hey, homie, listen, I get it. Mama's coming down the street. Well, you got about 3 minutes to vacuum, do the dishes, and get everything together. Or it's Hell in the City, boy.
We like your song. Oh, yeah. We played it on the show. Is that AM or PM? We need to know.
Right.
Inquiring.
What are
you
talking about? Right, right. What you be doing at 4:30 in the morning? Yeah, that's what he told Joe.
No, it's PM because in the video, he is, you know, working in an office with this woman, and he really likes her, so he's asked her out. And but before 4:30, he has to do all of these arrangements, like to decide, you know, where is he going to take her, what's he going to do on the date, and you know what
they both
got to
be home by 4:30.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so the synopsis of the song is basically Sam Kim is his best friend, and he's telling him, you know, stop watching the clock, you know, brush your teeth, do this, do that. You know, so it's, he's talking to him, and he's like, you know, giving him advice, and that's kind of how the video goes, and it's really good. I really like the concept, and I really like the song. That of his songs, I really, really like that one, of course, because it's in English, because most of his are in, you know, Thai.
I'm going to say, yeah, that's your American interpretation. He probably don't even mean that, see. brush your teeth. How old are we? Boy, listen, brush your teeth now, because if your breath is stinking, she ain't going to go out with you a second time.
Roger, you ain't sick.
Nope. Your breath gets bad at 4:30. Is that me?
Whatever's wrong with you is no small thing.
Roger, you on timeout. Moving right along.
Hey, truer words, never spoken, baby. All right,
George, you are up with the business tip. Were we supposed to understand? Was that in English?
Don't even bring it back. Don't even bring that shit back. No, just go ahead with the business tip, babe. You got this.
Moving on.
No.
That didn't improve it.
Oh,
no.
I mean.
No.
You know what, George? You're guilty of murder. You're guilty of murder,
right.
And I'll tell you why. Because that
be
intro
right.
just died.
It'll be
that
right.
intro's dead. The intro died.
Make us rich, George. Make us rich. What's up?
It'll be all right. So, if you're going to focus on something, let's focus on leads and not sales. All right? So that's tip number one. Focus on leads and not sales. Of course, we all want to spark business growth and increase our revenue, right? But the way to do this is in sustainability, the way to focus instead on building a loyal database of avid fans, which means don't try to go get everybody out there. Focus on your select group and get that group, and then you can move forward. Content marketing paired with optimized websites, forms, intelligent email, automation follow-up is all critical to business success. This approach builds trust by giving away free value before asking someone's hard-earned money. So, with that said, that brings me into number two. Don't sell products, provide solutions. Like it or not, folks out there aren't searching for your brand. They're just looking to solve a problem or find a particular type of product. So, unless you run a Starbucks or Adidas, they're not specifically looking for you. Don't list all the benefits that your product brings. Focus on the solution. Explain to the customer in simple, straightforward terms how or why their product can help them, or insist in maintaining their goals. So with that brings me to number three. Don't make customers dig deep for a phone number. Even in the digital age, some customers will always prefer to contact you by phone rather than by email or by Facebook. While many other companies now tight margins It's few man phones lines all together. It's worth giving customers the option to have a voice-to-voice conversation with your brand. Get a phone number, answer the phone. Don't rely on just emails for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, give something for nothing or very little.
Mm-hmm.
Why not give your happy customers a voucher with their purchase they redeem on products and services the next time they come back? If they love what you do already, they're only going to love you even more for giving them something free. So that's always a good ad gimmick, you know what I mean? You know, hey, on your next visit, $10 off of this or $15 off of that or whatever. You know, just give them something. And then number five, the biggest and main most important thing, own your niche. Own your niche. Sometimes it's better to be a master of one discipline than a jack of all trades. Immediately, multiple revenue streams do spread your risk. If one falls, the others can pick up the slack. That's great. But you really got to own your niche. Nevertheless, customers often associate specialists with higher quality product or services than a generalist. And with good reason. Specialists typically invest all their resources into perfecting a single product or service. So what should you specialize in? State the obvious. It should be something in which you excel. So whatever you do, own what you do.
Yeah.
There you have it.
Beautiful.
Boom. Wise words.
Boom.
The phone thing is true. That's crazy because I've been, like, when I've been on jobs, if you want to talk to a company's particular support or IT group and you can't find a number, there is nothing more frustrating, especially 2 o'clock in the morning. You're right. And a lot of companies, like George said, don't even want to talk to you. So they outsource that crap to, you know, who knows where, and then nobody can help you. So that's a very, very true thing, especially in our field, because you need answers. And when you have to work directly with people on programs and whatnot, I don't need to talk to somebody who's, you know, in their living room, you hear their kids and animals and goats and shit running around, and they can't have help you. So you're right, man. Have a working support number, people. Definitely have a body somewhere available. You know, if you don't have time to talk to people, you don't have time to get their money. So that's what's up. I'm with you on that, G.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say goats? I meant it.
You know what? Yeah, you did. But look, I went straight to the Caribbean with that shit. I'm like, okay, he went far with it. You've been in Africa too long.
Hey, but it's true. You'd be surprised. With the people working from home now, you know, in our field, you know, in the IT field, man, I'm talking to different specialist programmers and whatnot, and
on the other side
you
of the
hear
world.
All kind of stuff in the background. Hey, all kinds of stuff going on.
I had a woman yelling at her grandkids yesterday. I was like, damn, so we just ain't going to be professional, huh? Like, everybody's working from home.
I'm talking to one dude, and next thing you know, I hear, Daddy, DoorDash is at the door. What?
I mean, I get it. You know, we know people working from home, but I'm like, come on, people. Like, at least fake it a little bit. They're not even faking it.
This is where you get a credit. The thing about it is, like, look, don't let me have to report you to the company. Just let's go ahead and work on a credit right quick.
You know, it's usually funny, though. It's usually funny, but, yeah, that's a trip. Oh, yo!
Yeah.
I forgot about this. Did y'all – tell me y'all saw that where the sister, the teacher in Alabama got fired for getting her back blown out on live.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
First of all, I knew she was going to get fired regardless, whether she did it or not, whether that's what it was or not. She was getting fired regardless because that was already too much for it to blow up like that, go viral on the internet in like a matter of 48 hours. But the fact is, I watched the whole original video, and I don't believe that. I don't believe that that's what was happening. Yeah.
Maybe
I mean,
not.
She was sleeping.
You might be right, but
she
was so
sleeping.
Unprofessional.
Hold on a second.
George, based on your observation of the entire video that you saw,
right,
what did you see? Because I didn't see the video.
Oh, she was asleep, for starters.
Oh, okay.
And then her body started rocking. You know. And
She could have just been, you know how people move their leg when they sleep? Like some people move their leg.
A half a face. She was laying on her stomach, you know, face in, looking at the video. She had the whatever tablet, laptop, whatever on Zoom right there, so you can see her whole face and the top half of her body. But then for a brief moment, a half a face and a shoulder and a pec came into the picture, and the dude didn't have no shirt on. It looked like, to me, it looked like he was trying to wake her up, but I don't know. I mean, it didn't look like,
yeah.
It looked strange, but it did not look like
it
sex
wasn't
to me.
It wasn't.
And
true
it was
sex.
Several people. It was several people that were saying that too.
But
in
it's
the comments.
Still inappropriate. For the simple fact
that she
had students on the Zoom, even if she, you know, took Cam down,
Let me correct you. That was just people talking. There was no students on Zoom. It was a faculty Zoom call. It was a meeting. No kids. There were no kids on there.
We're grown up.
But there
were
people on there. She could have calmed down to handle her business if it was, you know, like that.
She could have taken her camera off, man.
Yeah.
What I honestly think it was hit them kind of being practical jokers. You know how people do when you're on the phone messing around. I think he took it a little too far. She tried to keep a game face while being professional. That's what I really think it was, because let's be honest. Good, bad, or indifferent.
But that wasn't being professional.
If you really getting busy, you can still be that calm and look into the my man. He got a lot bigger problems than who's watching.
Right.
Whether she did it or not, it was still inappropriate. You're at a faculty meeting.
Tell me I'm lying.
And you're
Tell
laying
me I'm
there
lying.
Asleep on camera. That's inappropriate. That's unprofessional.
You're not lying, but we're trying to state a point.
Either way, she was in the wrong. Whatever her fate is, it is, I would say, it's justified, because you can't do that.
Look,
you have to set
like us being on a very professional Zoom, and all of a sudden one of us just get busy. I mean, something
We got disclaimers. Be right back. Matter of fact, I'm not coming back. I'll be smoking a cigarette, and I don't smoke. I'll see y'all next Wednesday, and I'll tell you how it was. Shit, that's what I'm going to do. But I'm not going to do that. And furthermore, if I'm with a woman and we doing that and she can still talk, yeah, dog, he got bigger problems than that. Because like Bernie Mac said, you – hello? What I'm doing? Oh, nuts here.
Really? That's where you go with that? Really?
No. Or we are on a professional Zoom. And somebody decides to pull out a blunt, start smoking, and they got a female in the background.
Now you go to timeout. Bye. See there? Right there. Now you in timeout. I'll take you.
Exactly. Mimi gets it.
No.
You two, there is no
hope. Y'all suck.
But listen, this is what we talked about. Everybody's idea of professionalism is different. I understand being loose, being relaxed, being comfortable, but at the same time, you're supposed to be an official of the school administration. I mean, the problem is the standards are going lower and lower because there are not enough people to fill in and to cover. And sadly, all you have to do is have a pulse. Do you realize they're letting 18-year-olds become substitute teachers? Do you know how stupid 18-year-olds are? You know, in 21, it's just a little less stupid 18. And the problem is they don't really have much option. I think there should be a complete revamping of that. But how do you do that when people aren't willing to pay their dues and spend the time being educators like they used to be? You have to really, really love that and want to do it, because there's no reward in it, sadly. There's no reward. So, you know, I hate to say it, but the Deep South is still the absolute worst academically. I mean, they get shafted in every way, shape, and form anyway. There's so many Jim Crow and sharecropping holdovers and practices, and I'm not being mean for right now. I'm being dead serious. Like, they still are very antiquated in a lot of their thoughts and methodologies and things like that, and it just shows. It really does. That was – I mean, damn, it's a no-brainer to us, but again, she's got my guy walking in the back, you know. He's flexing. I'm surprised he didn't ask somebody, you know, if they wanted to buy a sack of some goofy shit. Like, that's – I would have expected no less. I mean, it's terrible. So,
and
you
the
know,
fact that
is,
you
nobody,
that,
nobody's,
mean,
nobody's even commenting on this. Nobody's even commenting on what I'm about to say. I haven't seen a single comment on this. I'm wondering if I'm the only person that's thinking this, but my thought is, who is the asshole that recorded this shit with their phone and then blasted it out to social media?
The
that's
same
the
people that recorded
somebody wanting that 15
killed.
Minutes of fame.
Right. Yep.
You know
she's
what?
Right.
You know what
she's
it
right.
was? It was probably somebody that was truly bothered at her school and maybe trying to get her out the freaking position any damn way. Because, you know, people will try some shit, you know?
Fair enough.
Yeah, but we are in the age of record.
That's who I'll be going after.
And preserve. And for something like that, that's, like, huge, because that's something you don't see every day on a business Zoom at that, because they were there for business. And
one
she
of them.
Was...
One of them in that circle.
Yeah. 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 You know? And
I don't,
whether they put it out as an example of what, you know, our education has come to, you know, there are no words to express how shocked I was when I watched that, you know. Whether she was bumping uglies or whatever, I don't know. Like, only she can speak on that. But from what I can say, from what I saw and from my perspective, when she was rocking, it looked like, you know, something was going on. But, you know, who knows? But it was,
it's for no other reason other than that would have been, they would have gotten arrested for pornography. I know it wasn't real. But again, the point that they were trying to prove is, like, I honestly feel like he was just trying to joke with her. Again, we've all done it when you're younger or whatever. You might mess with someone on the phone and try to disrupt them or distract them. And I think he kind of took it to that step, and she was trying to maybe play it off and things like that. Do I think it was
how lengthy was that?
I'm not disagreeing, but that's where the lack of professionalism come in. I agree.
Well, we can't say that she doesn't know how to use the buttons, because the mic was muted, so she could have calmed down, you know, for all intents and purposes. She could have calmed down, especially if she was that sleepy and wasn't paying attention as far as what was going on, because you can't pay attention if you're asleep.
We all have the option right now to turn our cameras off. Like, that means she wanted that attention. This is how badly people are starved for attention, and like you said earlier, you want that 5 minutes of fame or infamy or whatever you want to call it, but this is pathetic. The same people that turned her in are the same people that probably don't have a problem recording someone getting killed or beat up or whatever, but not helping. See, everybody wants to be, you know, damn, you know, a news reporter now, you know, in their spare time instead of being, you know, a good citizen helping out. It's kind of, I think I ride the fence on that. Yes, footage has done a lot of good, but
right.
if everybody's recording and nobody's helping, I have a problem with that. I have a real problem
right.
with that. So, you know,
right.
it just, I don't know. I just think that was reckless. Funny, but reckless.
Yeah. It was entertaining. But moving on. All right, next it's time for Phoebe at the Movies, which would be me at the movies, telling you what.
Hello, it's time for At the Movies with Phoebe. Yep, At the Movies with Phoebe.
Thank you, Alvin,
okay.
for that wonderful intro. I am so touched that you did that for us. You know, only I could pull the chipmunks out of retirement, I know, really, right? So, at the movies this week, so we've got three films that I wanted to touch on just briefly because I'm anxious to jump into our topic. So the first would be They, Them, Us, and it tells the story of Charlie, played by Joey Slotnick, and Lisa, played by Amy Hargreaves. They're two divorced parents in their 40s who find themselves at a midlife crossroads. And anyone who is 40 and over can definitely relate to this film. They have very complicated, eccentric teenagers who, well, it's quite colorful. So here's this, They, Them, Us. Roll it, George.
I'm not interested in monogamy or a relationship.
The last thing I want is a serious commitment. This is way too fast. I'm totally crazy.
You're asking me to move in?
This is going to be our new home.
You don't want to live here.
You don't want them either.
Stop trying to be the peacemaker of that. Just makes us hate you more.
You do realize getting drugs in the mail is a felony.
It's from Oregon. It's legal there.
Sometimes I worry that I'm not wild enough.
You still know nothing of wild. You're so tense. What are you afraid of?
Your father can be his asshole?
No, and you like it that way.
Half my flesh just came out. That's cool. I think most of them are poly.
What's that?
When you love everybody.
Danny, what did you take?
Come with me, bye.
You guys are really fun tonight.
Get here. Just drop it.
Don't mind my dad. He just wants to be liked. It's his fatal flaw.
Yeah. All right, so that was They, Them, Us, and it opens this Friday, February, what is Friday? today
is a Thursday.
The second or fourth, February
Friday.
4th, Friday. So everybody, look forward to that. Next up is Moonfall, which is a new film. Everyone's definitely looking forward to that. So in Moonfall, it's a mysterious force that knocks the moon from its orbit around the Earth, and it sends it hurtling on a collision course with life as we know it. With mere weeks before impact and the world on the brink of annihilation, NASA executive and former astronaut Joe Fowler, played by Academy Award winner Halle Berry, must try to save the day. So check out Moonfall. Halle is just amazing, and she looks amazing. So without further ado, here's Moonfall.
If you're watching this, then you know by now a huge problem is heading our way. An emergency meeting is being called at our usual place immediately. Free bagels.
I've made a shocking discovery. I need you to get me in touch with NASA immediately.
Well, NASA and I aren't really on speaking terms these days.
Well, that'll change. When you tell them that the moon is out of orbit.
There's no need to panic.
No, I'm crazy!
Why are they lying about all this?
It's too late to stop.
You knew all this was happening before NASA.
You were the unidentified source?
Oh, yes.
We're dealing with an intelligent entity. We're planning a mission to attack this thing. I'm asking you for your help. want you to be brave.
If the moon really is what you think it is, suit up.
Fair moon rising. You have got a big gravity wave coming your way. You have to launch now.
Did he say gravity wave?
See trouble on the way.
We're underwater, guys. That's crazy.
I hear hurricanes blowing.
Well, what's going on?
What's the plan?
Save the moon, save Earth.
Brian, what are you doing?
We're flying to stealth.
Wait for it.
No.
Let's go, you son of a... On airplane mode.
All right, so that was Moonfall, and guys, it's definitely a must-see. It's a thrill ride and like no other, and it's got a little comedy sprinkled in, so nothing better than comedy and, you know, thrills. So definitely check out Moonfall. And I have saved Be Best for Last. This is the movie that America needs right now, the movie that we've all been waiting for. Wait for it, wait for it. Bum, 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 bum. Jackass Forever. Yes, Johnny Knoxville, Steve-O, and all the gang are back to do it again, shoving cars up their asses and doing the craziest stunts at their age, which should inspire us all that you're never too old to be a jackass. And you do the jackass stunts. I mean, it is so cool. And it's so great to see the guys together again. And they're doing their craziness. So roll that beautiful jackass footage, George. Here we go.
Again, don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day.
Hello, I'm Johnny Knoxville. Welcome to Jackass. Three, two, one.
I feel asked, what will Jackass be like once we're older? Well, it'll get more mature.
The faster you pedal your bike, the faster the other guy's hand goes back.
You said it wasn't going to feel like anything.
Concussions aren't great, but as long as you have them before you're 50, it's cool.
Oh,
and
my
I'm
God.
Still 49, so we're good.
Did you feel my heart?
Well, today we're going to do a little furniture shopping.
I've been watching Jackass since I was 12 years old. And guess what? We're here.
Oh, my God.
We have winners, and we have Steve-O.
A bunch of NASA scientists right this week.
What did you guys do to Eric?
Fail to prepare, prepare to fail.
You still got those million-dollar teeth, that's for sure.
Gee, didn't set myself up for failure on this one. Aaron, please relax. I'm trapped. And you're putting honey on me and salmon? Oh, my God.
Yes, 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 Jackass. That is, it's the film that we've all need, the film that we've all waited for, the film that in this uncertain time is a constant. They do the craziest things. And just what you saw in the trailer is just only a fraction of what you will get through the film. So check out Jackass if you want to laugh, you want to, you know, if they take you through a whole array of emotions because you just do dumb shit.
I foresee a whole new round of Facebook challenges.
I didn't think about that.
I can see that.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? You might be right. You might. But who is this we of whom you speak?
Right. She's French. I didn't tell you that. My cousin was from France.
What? Here's what I'll say. I give those guys credit for finding a way to become popular, rich, and famous off, you know, the stupidest shit. But it's one of those, a lot of people think it and they do it. So I give them a lot of credit for saying, hey, we're going to blaze the trail and go ahead and do it. And the more injured we get, the better. I can't really get with it. But, yeah, some of the stuff they do is completely absurd. And that's what people go for. So kind of like George talked about earlier, you know, in his business tips, this is what these guys did. I would have never thought to do that. Most people wouldn't have, because to us it's like, this is just buffoonery. But you know what? They are true to their brand and to themselves. And I give them a lot of credit for that. Now, would I spend money on that shit? Hell no. But at the same time, if I happen to see one of them, you know, getting a concussion or getting knocked out or something along the way, yeah, I'd applaud that and keep going. Yeah. So that's cool. You know,
you'll see a lot of it.
Yeah, I really will.
And what's really cool is I've watched them ever since, you know, I was a kid. You know, we grew up on Jackass. And my thing is they're older now. You know, we're all around the same age. And it's just really interesting and inspiring to see, you know, that you may get older, but you're still a Jackass. So I think that people will definitely enjoy this film, those, especially those that are familiar with Jackass. And it's a great film. So with that,
I think everybody knows who they are. But
yeah,
they don't heal as quickly. I know we don't.
Yeah. We'll be right back after these words.
If you're just joining the show, welcome to CB and the Boys. Brought to you by CB and the Boys Incorporated and World Radio LLC. You can catch us live every Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central on Blog Talk Radio, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Facebook, and YouTube. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to us on YouTube. And now, back to CB and the Boys.
Oh, we just took it back. Took it on back.
Magic mirror, come and search my heart. Can you tell? You're the melody.
So I
That is a long one.
All right, and we are back, and that was Earth, Wind, and Fire and Imagination. I took you guys way back, way, way, way back.
Yeah, you know me and Philip used to kick it together like that. I co-wrote that. I just want y'all to know that, me and Philip Bailey, back in the good old days. That's why I got my
and
old
that,
school
and
mic.
That, and that must have been the problem, because if you went so way back, that means that you guys added three more goddamn verses to that shit. Look, I like the song. After the second verse, I was done.
That's they don't have long play records in the Virgin Islands. That's all.
I second that.
Damn it, Roger. You're the reason why.
Oh, I was grooving all by myself.
And
you
that's
know, I started putting it in the room, girl.
And that's the reason music now is only 2 minutes long.
I was here for a little bit, right? And I'm on my phone doing my little marketing and stuff. And I'm like, why do I feel like it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon and I'm marketing and I'm still going? Like, wait a minute, I'm in the show.
Hey, y'all know which one of us gets in our own zone and zones the hell out, and it ain't me. I ain't throwing nobody under the bus, but beep, beep. Come on, man, come on.
I can't believe you said that.
Hey, I stole that from somebody. I'm gonna have to get that soundbite.
Yeah. I love music, so there's no shame in my game.
After the second verse, is done, the whole song is done. That's it.
But here's the problem. When you're dealing with the elements, you can't let it go until you hear Philip Bailey hit that high note. So maybe fast forward. But you got to hear Philip hit the high note. Come on, that's the elements, baby.
I know.
So
they need to re-edit those songs and bring it and bring that fifth verse to like the second and
You know what it is, Mimi. See, Mimi just needs to learn how to two-step. Then she'll want to hear all the songs 5, 6, 7 minutes long. Man, she's going to be out there spinning
this
shit. Mimi, she'll come with her hair pressed and permed. It'll be all done by her back and shit.
Yeah.
She know how to two-step. She'll mess around and play the 8-minute version of some shit. You know, we Fire and Desire. Oh, good Lord. Really? We got Tina Marie and everybody out there.
Hey.
I'm going to tell you something, bro.
Do not disrespect Tina Marie with USA.
And that's my girl. That's my girl. I love every single one of them, and I'm going to make sure that in my post I put, hey, look, with all due respect, I'm respecting all my people, but this is a two-verse song tonight.
Mimi wants to make that point known. Like, hey, you know what this reminds me of? I guarantee nobody knows that there's more than one verse like a lot of songs. Like, I don't know, Star Spangled Banner and all that shit. Like, people don't know that. You know, Lift Every Voice. Don't nobody know all the extra verses.
Look, first of all, let me say something. I got to say something. And this shit is so real. So I never knew, ever in my life, until it was brought up, I don't know, maybe a year ago when the whole Star Spangled Banner shit and people acting crazy about it and, we ain't fuck this. I'm not going to put my hand up. I'm not standing up. I'm going to take a knee. Until all that shit happened, I never knew that the Star Spangled Banner went beyond the second verse.
Yeah.
Most people don't.
I just thought it was what it was, and that was it. And when I found that out and I looked more into it and I was like, those words are deep.
Know your history. Know your history. Mm-hmm. Know your history.
Look, us in Puerto Rico and the Caribbean, we don't know the fucking history. All we know is, look, we have the fort that have the freaking bombers and all the shit, and we can go there and take pictures and be cool. But we was never taught about this shit. So we are now in our 40s and 50s learning this shit. And it's like, wait a minute, that shit wasn't cool. So, you know, it's causing a lot of shit now because, and the whole place is upside down in the Caribbean because of that, you know?
It should cause education. It's not anger is one thing, but education is another. If you don't know your history, you're doomed to repeat it. And that tends to happen.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the thing is, I guarantee you the majority of the people that defend things like that don't know that there's more than one verse. And the people that are staunchly opposed to it don't either. You have to pick your side. I don't really care what side you pick, but be able to intelligently defend it. And most people can't. It's a gut feeling. I don't like it, so I'm going to yell about it. But you can't defend it. So,
And I'm yelling. Now I'm yelling about a lot of shit. That my people back home is like, oh my God, Mimi Acosta, I became somebody different. No, I'm not. I'm learning the shit that we never learned in school. Y'all, fuck it. They don't like it at all.
Don't put on the dishes.
I love knowledge is power. So, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to be the Malcolm X of, you know, whatever, but my thing is knowledge is power. We got to know these things so we can teach like the others, you know?
Yeah, each one teach one, no doubt.
Yeah. Anyway, what's next, Mama? Moving right along. We got like five things we got to talk about, and we got 30 minutes. Let's go.
All right.
You can tell Mimi feels better. Mimi feels better.
Yeah. All right. So what we're talking about today is coronavirus, of course, and we're also going to touch upon mental illness. There have been quite a few people of late that have committed suicide. A lot of our people of color are just checking out rather than, you know, facing whatever demons that they are facing and battling here in life. They're deciding to just give up on life. So we're going to talk about that. But first of all, I want to bring to the attention that the state trooper in Washington, his name is Robert LeMay. He was age 51. I don't know if you guys remember him, but he was fired for telling the governor of Washington to kiss his ass when they passed the mask mandate. So he lost his job as a result of that. And, karma is a bitch because he has died. Oh, guess what? COVID. So, and he was one of the ones who was really, really loud about the vaccine and how he refused to take it and he refused to wear a mask. And he died of COVID. So
you think he still refused while he was on his deathbed? You think he still refuses?
That I don't know.
But the funny thing about it is there's a gentleman who lost his turn in line. He was scheduled to get a heart, lung transplant? Anyway, 32 years old, and he stuck to his gun. He wouldn't take the vaccination, so they took him off. They took him off the list, and someone else is going to get that organ. And I think here's what's interesting. I think everyone should have freedom of choice. Don't care what side of the fence you're on. But I do feel like even if I don't believe in something, I don't know how I feel about leaving a widow and three children at 32. You to thine own self be true. And I think people don't understand that well enough because everybody's like, you know what? This is what they say over here. And this is what they say over there. You have to pick a lane. And the thing is, even though you're not Catholic, do you hate Catholics? Not really, unless you went to Catholic school and were beat to death or abused. Even though you're not Muslim or Rastafarian or Hindu, do you hate them? Not really. If you're from a country that does, they have these clashes. The point that I'm making is that they're doing exactly what they want. Why are we such a house divided in this country based on who does what? If you make a choice, you live with it. Here's the thing. Mimi just got over it. Everybody on this panel has been exposed or dealt with it. I'm probably I'm not saying I haven't been exposed. I'm just saying I haven't been like, yo, it took me down. All three of y'all have had it. Whether you had the vaccination or not, all three of you guys have had it. Now, I've had negative tests. I've had all kinds of things. It doesn't matter. The point that I'm making is I say this all the time. I don't want to be right or wrong at the cost or the expense of any of you guys. So whether somebody dies of, maybe he was just an asshole and didn't need to be in this world. I don't give a shit what he died of. I wouldn't have cared if it was of a broken heart or an arrow to the skull. But the fact of the matter is, this is a very divisive thing going on in this country. It's deliberately separating us based on this one belief. You can sit there and talk to somebody who wears a different hairstyle, has a different skin tone, observes a different religion. It's hard. But we can even coexist with people of different political affiliations. My grandmother always said, don't discuss politics, money, or your religious beliefs with anyone who's outside of that because it will create a huge divide. And this is kind of like that. This is damn near religion in some ways. And I don't think it's a good thing. I don't care what side you're on. I love people on both sides. I don't really care. I just don't think that we have enough information for people to make judgment calls. Oh, he died because he had it. He died because he didn't. I think that's exactly, we're playing into the hands of the people that want us. Look, a house divided cannot stand. I didn't create this shit, but I live by it. It's the truth. You cannot if you're like that. So, you know, whoever this guy was, you know what, whether he died from that or not, you know, he's probably out of shape, probably doing a lot of things that shouldn't have been done. Yeah, whatever. But again, I'm talking to three people right now who didn't, who bounced back. I was telling someone not too long ago about the fact that, you know, when each person went through it, how everybody was very determined to not sit still, to do what they needed to do, and here we are, you know, talking today. That was a choice you guys made. I don't know what choice he made. I didn't have anything to do with it. And it could have been pre or post mandate, pre or post vaccination, pre or post whatever. So I think that's why it kind of gets to me, the subject gets really threadbare because people are going to run it and run it and run it until you see my way of thinking or until you see reason. I don't have to. Like I said, I shake hands and hug. I don't do that fist bumping shit with the mask. That's just me. You know, I trust me anyway. You know, I know what I do to take care of myself. So I've never stopped hugging people. I've never stopped shaking hands. But guess what? I wash my hands anyway because of the work I do. I've always washed my hands. I take several showers a day. I do all the, you know, I take my supplements. So it's kind of one of those things. Now, for those who have compromised immune systems and for those who have, you know, underlying issues, please take care of yourself. Do what you have to do. But again, I don't go to the synagogue or mass or anything else on Saturday or Sunday or whenever. You know, I was raised one particular way of believing, just like most of us were, but I've had lots of conversations with people of other you know, denominations, and they've been very productive. You're not going to change someone's opinion in 2 hours, one conversation, or in 2 years. So we have to respect. And I think that's where the problem comes in. And again, it's very deliberate. So I respect anything anybody on here wants to do. I'm going to support you one way or the other. If you don't, I got your back. If you do, I've got your back. That's my take.
I don't I don't respect anyone who puts my life in danger. I don't respect anyone who doesn't care if my life and others are in danger. I don't respect anyone that makes light of the situation. I've had COVID, but I've experienced loss as a result of COVID. My uncle died of COVID. I had mentors that died of COVID. People that helped mold me into the woman you see today that have died of COVID. So I don't expect anyone that walks around making light of it, thinking that it's not as serious as it is. Because until it really affects you, you know, people just don't care until it hits home. But
sure.
You have to care just an inkling about your fellow man. And that's where this country is divided, because people just don't give a shit anymore. They don't.
Part of that issue is a syndrome out there that a lot of people have. And it's called, it's not going to happen to me syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to get it syndrome.
Yeah.
That's not going to be me syndrome, you know.
Right.
So that's what part of the problem is.
Yes.
I guess, so my question is this. I understand, again, this is what I love. I love the fact that you have to take your own stance. I talk to people daily who, like Crystal said, some people make jokes about it. Some people make light of it. And then on the right. other side, some people are like, look, I won't even talk to friends or family or deal with it. I can't tell you how to feel. That's your choice. I know people that are like, look, my so-and-so won't let anybody in or do whatever. I can tell you numerous stories. I really can. It's funny because at the end of 20, and again, like I said, sometimes this subject irks the shit out of me because it's the same thing. My thing is, I like to ask everybody two things. One, what would you do if you found out you were wrong? I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying, I don't care what side of the fence you're on. Obviously, I know what side, but what would you do if you found out next year if they said, we were wrong about all of this. We probably shouldn't have gone that route. What would you do? See, nobody thinks about that because you're so sure that you're right. You're so sure that you feel the right way that you go, it doesn't matter. I don't have to think about that. What would you do? You don't have to answer me today, but you need to ask yourself, what would you do if you found out in 6 months that everything you've done has been misleading and that you were wrong? Could you live with the fact that you've done something to yourself permanently that may affect your life or take it? The same way the people that don't buy into it, can you live with the fact that you may not be here next week because you chose not to? I'm asking everybody out there, if you can live with your decision. Now, people say, yeah, they can. But again, I'm talking to three people who were struggling to move or to breathe or to do whatever. You know, and so, you know, you guys can speak. And here's the thing. I didn't know anybody. I knew nobody that died until March 2020. And it was somebody that I used to be very, very close to. Then all of a sudden, 2021, hell, I started hearing about friends that were about my age, relatively healthy, but also, you know, some overweight, some sedentary, some different. It doesn't matter why. All of a sudden, you go from zero to whatever.
Yeah.
The point that I'm making is it doesn't matter why, because I can give you 1,000 narratives to make you believe good or bad. But I love to use the seatbelt analogy simply because the only thing I say to people, and I love playing devil's advocate because, you know, private school makes us all debaters. If you're driving and you're wearing your seatbelt and your passenger isn't and you get into an accident and you live and they don't, they live with their choice, right? Does them not wearing a seatbelt affect you? It does not. It might fuck your windshield up, but it doesn't affect you. So you can't say someone's putting your life at risk. That's like saying if I go out and sleep with somebody without a condom, you're not going to get the clap. You're not going to get pregnant. You're not going to get something. That's my choice. It's kind of the same thing. People go, well, you're breathing people's air and coughing. I do understand, and I'm wholeheartedly for close personal space, mask, things like that. But if people don't want to do something, then don't do it. I just do it, don't do it. I just don't like the idea that people get so upset that they want to lose a relationship or be physical about something because people are observing the right to choose. That's all I'm saying. I don't care what side you're on because we all, at the end of the day, have to live with our decision. And so that's all I'm trying. I just want people to get to understand. Stop trying to force. Stop trying to force people not to take it. You stop trying to force people to take it. And just say, hey, would you choose? Cool. Would you choose? Cool. Now, if you're like, hey, I don't want to be around that, always an option. You don't have to be around it. But this is the choice we have to do or not do. We can't control human behavior, human thought. So the fact that we're pushing an agenda, I don't believe, whether I believe in doing it or not, I think, look, I got most of my family is on one side of the fence. But I still don't believe that you shouldn't be forced to do anything. That's no longer freedom, is it? That's not freedom of choice. So I think even if I agree 100%, even if I want everybody in my house to do it and to feel safe and all that, I still don't believe that you should be forced to do anything. Because like I've said a million times, if they came and said, you know what, we found that the AIDS virus offsets coronavirus, everybody needs to go take a shot and get HIV. I bet y'all wouldn't be lined up because you know what it does. And you'd be like, oh, shit, we heard about AIDS in the 80s and 90s. But if they said you have to do it, you'd push back. So all I'm saying is everyone should be able to choose. And guess what? Somebody's going to be wrong. I just don't want to be right at the expense of somebody I love's life. That's it. I don't want to be right and then have somebody die and be like I was right. That's all. Look, if I'm wrong, cool. I owe you a dollar or a beer. If you're wrong, at the least you can say you got to admit to me that I was right. But I don't want to fucking have to have your face on my T-shirt and a song about you because I was right. Either way.
Yeah.
You know.
And with that, so you guys know that the farmer Miss USA, Chelsea Chris, jumped out of a New York window and plummeted to her death. Well, the reports have now come out that she was battling with what is known as high-functioning depression, and she kept it a secret from her close friends, her loved ones, her parents. Her mother came out. Her name is April Simpson, and she you know, of course, devastated with saying what her daughter was battling, what she was going through. So the term high-functioning depression is often used to describe a condition known as persistent depressive disorder. And it's also known as dysthymia. You know, and while the symptoms of high-functioning depression are not intense enough to noticeably affect one's daily routine and responsibilities, the symptoms can vary in severity from person to person. And that was my resource was mpwhealth.com. But according to bridgestorecovery.com, high-functioning depression is a real thing, and it can have serious consequences, you know, if not addressed and treated. I don't know, you know, if she was being treated for it, but the diagnosis for high-functioning depression is officially called, again, persistent depressive disorder, or PDD. And someone struggling with PDD experiences many of the symptoms of depression, but it's less severely. But the signs and symptoms of high-functioning depression are similar to those caused by major depression. They may include changes in eating and sleeping habits, low self-esteem, fatigue, hopelessness. And I think we're all experiencing a bout of hopelessness going through everything that we've gone through these last 2 years. A difficulty concentrating. Symptoms persist on most days, causing a nearly constant low mood that lasts for 2 years or more. So who knows how long she had been battling this. Most people function almost normally, but struggle internally. So it's like she wore a smile on the outside while she was just screaming on the inside. And treatment is possible for high-functioning depression, but it's through medication and therapy, and we don't know if, you know, she was getting that.
Of course. And I'm going to say something about that because I lost my brother to suicide in 2016. And the family did not know that he had been diagnosed with mental illness. Like, he totally hid it. Like, he went to the Virgin Islands for a surgery, you know, and he was told, like, look, you're going to have this gastrointestinal issue you got going on. We're going to give you a surgery for this, but you're going to wind up with diabetes, and some other things are going to happen. We don't know what it's going to be. You just need to get help for it. So he comes back to Georgia, and he's experiencing all these things. He's going through diabetes. The family knew absolutely nothing. All we know is, you know what? He's not throwing up anymore. Whenever he eats, all this stuff, oh, the surgery worked, la, la, la. And then all of a sudden, he commits suicide. Nobody knew why.
Wow.
You know, so it's just one of those things where, you know, like right now, today, there is still not closure because it's like, how do we go from me helping him, getting him from California to Georgia? We got him to the islands. We got him back here. I took care of all his licensing issues because, you know, he was, you know, an electrician. I'm getting him jobs. He's doing good. And all of a sudden, one day, he just snaps. He ends up in jail over the weekend. He comes home, and then he commits suicide. So you just never know for real, what people are going through. Like, you think you know. Because you know, as soon as you spot problems with family, you get yourself totally involved. Because I'm like, I'm that diver. I'm the diver in my family that's like, I'm going to dive in here. We're going to make it happen. We're going to be okay. And then some shit happens, and it's like, what the fuck? How did this happen? And really and truly, there's no closure. But at the end of the day, it's like I'm looking at this young, beautiful woman. She's Miss USA. She's gone to school. She's done her stuff. She's doing all this stuff. She got all kinds of things going on. And then I get people starting to send me inboxes because I posted something about it. And everybody's sending me inboxes like, Mimi, like, oh, my God, like, when I saw her shit, I thought about you. Don't think about me because this is one thing Mimi Acosta will never fucking do. I am not in the business. I could be under the bridge by myself in my truck or not with a bag. I am not going to end my life. There's nothing in my soul that could take me there. Like, I don't know, you know, people have different triggers. People have different things that they go through that are going to take them to that point because it happens all the time. I don't know what that shit is. But I pray against that shit every day because I do have my days when I go under, when I'm like, you know what, I want to be in darkness. I don't want to talk to people. I might shut myself off for 2 or 3 days, fuck the world, no posting, no nothing, be in darkness, go to sleep. But while I'm sleeping and waking up and going to the bathroom and drinking water, I am praying. Like, I stay in prayer. Because you got to stay in praying when you got this kind of demonic spirits rolling around your entire family. And you're constantly dealing with somebody died from this, they died from that. Like, we've had like 5 family deaths in the last 4 months. And I'm still dealing. Like, it's a constant fight. But you gotta move forward. Like, I don't know what it would take a woman like this, you know what I'm saying, in her, the height of all her shit to go south. But it happens. It does happen to people. Like, you know, we don't know what extra battles she was really dealing with. You know, I don't know, a pressuring boyfriend, the demand of her being Miss USA, and now they want to take her to another level, and all kinds of people in her head, and she's got an agent. And some people just can't deal with pressure. They don't know how to deal with it, so they do what they do.
You,
I don't understand it, but that shit ain't never happening over here, ever.
But you know what? You hit it on the head. You, when you were talking about yourself and Rob, and I was thinking about Robin Williams, because he literally just brought light to people for decades. And the thing is, he was battling demons the whole time. Everybody can think about Robin Williams, whether it's Mork and Mindy, whether it was Happy Days, whether it was Aladdin. This guy literally brought light to everybody and inevitably ended up taking his own life. In spite of being the happiest guy you ever saw, like you said, you don't know what people are battling. I think the thing is, and this is going to sound crazy, but it kind of goes back to what George was talking about earlier. The one thing I've learned, I mean, I've been very, very fortunate. I know professional therapists, and I have friends that are counselors and things like that. So just in bouncing things back and forth, we're privy to picking up stuff. And the fact that people are more open about seeking counseling and therapy, and it's saving a lot of people. But at the same time, a lot of people still don't talk in our cultures. You don't talk about that. You don't go see someone. You deal with it. You keep it inside. And that's how someone ends up taking themselves out. The interesting thing is, and I don't know. I'm so happy. I don't know. I know what it's like to be upset about something. I don't know what it's like to be down like that. So when I hear people that I care about say that, it just hurts me, because I'm like, well, okay, what can I do? The weird thing is, my grandmother, see, older folks have an interesting way of putting things, even if they don't have a lot of post-secondary education. And one of the things I love that my grandmother said to me, again, would say, you know, son, the mind gets sick like any other part of the body. Now, if that is not the most old-school grandma type of shit, that'll blow a doctor's mind. Because the terminology is fun, but it's true. Any part of you, i.e. if you break your arm is sick. If you have intestinal GI issues, sick. The mind is just another part of the body that gets sick. And so if you happen to deal with that, then how do you remedy it? And so like you were saying earlier, sometimes you just kind of go into your space and you hang there. I think oftentimes it's the hopelessness because you don't see an answer or an end.
And I'm gonna say something, if I may say something really quick, because people deal with things differently. I might be the person that want to just go off into the deep end and go to sleep for a few days and you know, sail with the world. But you got people that will do different things, like stay at work later, go to the gym, work harder at the gym, you know, go for a drive, take a trip. People deal with things differently.
Coping mechanisms.
Everybody, exactly. That's what it is. Yes.
Right. And the thing is, I just think like, and there's no right or wrong unless you don't see an end to it. And so it's interesting that I feel like I look at, you know, my daughter suffers from anxiety, and I think sometimes I think she's probably clinically is depressed at times as well. And you know, we do the best we can to talk, and I'm thankful that I have the patience to sit down and go, okay, listen, if you're having a meltdown, look, kid, you know, and we break down all the issues that she may think she's going through. Now, I know she's like, oh, my dad is not impressed by this, which I'm not, but I will also still be like, look at all that you have to look forward to. If I can find a way to convince them of what's coming, then maybe they'll stop and think like, you ended here? Do you know what you have in your future? But everybody isn't privy to someone who has the time, patience, and the heart to do that. And to those people, I say, man, reach out to somebody. I mean, I know it's like to have crippling depression, but it sounds miserable, and it hurts me to hear. Again, it is literally crippling to people. And then so when I hear about like people like your brother, and I've had associates that have done it as well, one of my roommates in college. Before we knew what like clinical depression was, we thought this dude was tripped out. We thought he was OCD about the girl he dated and all that, and he stopped going to class, and he would literally sit at the window and watch her go back and forth across campus. We're like, man, this dude is tripping. And he ended up, the summer of my junior year, he ended up killing himself because he was depressed. But back in that day, we just did, that's, you know, damn it, 30 years ago, we didn't know what to do or how to do. So, and when you look back now and go, man, you know what, there was a way to help. But we didn't know, we were too young. And so, but I never want, the only thing I can tell anybody is please, nobody blame yourself. You know, we've all had to deal with something. I wish I would have said, I wish I would have done. Don't blame yourself. Because you're where you are or not where you are for a reason. But I think about this young lady, and, you know, like we were talking about, she seemed to have everything going on. That's usually how it goes. You know, popular, probably making money, usually a beautiful person, inside and out, all this shit. Demons galore, demons galore. Everybody has them. You know, look, you know, Gabrielle Union has Halle Berry. Any woman that we think is gorgeous that we're looking at on TV, issues, some type of damage. Any man that's successful had to fight through a pool full of issues and damage. So before we start wishing someone's life on us, you better look into their history and figure out what they had to do to get where they are. You know, and it's real. I didn't know. It's real.
Speaking of that, I wanted to circle back to what you were saying about Robin Williams. First of all, or if anyone knows who Robin Williams is, we all know who Robin Williams is. He would have been 70 this year, you know, had he lived. But the reason he took his own life, he had a legitimate reason for doing what he did. And really, when you really think about what he was going through, it was the most selfless thing he could have done. He did what he did for his family. He was diagnosed with what's known as Lewy body dementia. It was reported that he had been experiencing paranoia, confusion, insomnia, constipation, and lacking the ability to smell, and then a variety of other complications with that. And he knew that eventually, you know, he would he was going to possibly not remember. He might be a vegetable. I mean, there are different things that could have happened. And so in order to not be a burden on his family, he took himself out. I did not know that.
So this is going to cause me to pose a question to you and other people. I have one of my oldest and dearest friends in Kansas City is taking care of his dad, who is, you know, what I've learned is a lot of people are, you know, as we get older, we used to call it senility. But then, you know, the senility, the Alzheimer's, the dementia, they all are kind of grouped into one category, if you will. But the dementia part of it is, of course, your body literally forgets how to sustain and care for itself, et cetera. So everything shuts down until you eventually pass away. I know several people that are taking care of family members, parents and whatnot that are going through that. And some of them have been going through it for a while. A good friend of mine, you know, in Ohio is doing it, a very amazing person. This person's a doctor. So not only does she have to take care of people all day, every day, and oftentimes in the COVID unit and things like that, she's got to care for an elderly grandmother, and she's got to care for her mom, who, you know, when I was a teen, I've had the pleasure of, you know, spending time around when I was younger. It's got to be tough to see your parent especially become someone that you don't know and they don't know. I mean, I've had to contend with that myself. I know other people that do. As we get older, we all do. That's a good question to ask. Do you think what Robin Williams did was selfish or selfless? And it's not a right or wrong answer, because CB just said it. She said, you know what? He knew what he was going through. He decided to do things on his own terms. I respect that. I don't know how I would feel. I don't know what I would think in terms of if my kids had to take care of me, you know, and my body forgot things. So what do you think? Because that's heavy, man. It's heavy.
So we're gonna get into the response of that. I know that we have like 0 seconds to our show where we have to like get out of here and get into the after show. So I'm gonna let Phoebe go ahead and do what she does. Go ahead, Mama.
I want to thank everyone for joining us today. And everyone, go ahead and say your goodbye, and I will close it out.
One love. God bless. See you guys next week. Mwah.
I've been dragging. dragging my wagon. But I'm here. I'm kicking it. Appreciate everybody. See y'all again next go around. Peace.
CB and the boys. Go to the website. Get the merch. Check it out. It's hot. Peace, y'all. Peace, love, and head grease.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for rocking with us tonight. We come to you every Wednesday for your midweek motivation. So hopefully you got some motivation, conversation, music, laughter, and you had a whole lot of fun. So those of you who are watching us, stick around. We have a brief little after show. We will continue the conversation. And those of you who are listening, sadly, you will not be able to hear us. But if you head on over to YouTube, you'll be able to check us out, or Facebook or Instagram. And you can check us out and watch us live and interact with the after show. So you don't want to miss that. And also, shout out to BTS member Jimin. He has undergone appendicitis, an appendectomy, and he's also tested positive for COVID. So our prayers and thoughts are with Jimin of BTS. So in light of that, so we know BTS is definitely going to be taking us out. So everyone enjoy the rest of your night, and thank you for listening to Stevie and the Boys. We'll be back next week, same time, same station, where we're going to talk about some good stuff, so you don't want to miss it. So definitely join us next week. Maybe our guest who was supposed to be on, because our topic originally was about the dark side of gastric bypass surgery. When you talk tonight. But she, unfortunately, is in the hospital battling COVID. So shout out to Michelle Jones Mitchum. So yeah. Are in our thoughts and prayers, definitely. So hopefully she'll be able to join us next week. Anyway, so to take us out, here's BTS and House of Cards.
Don't